Good morning to our Wasega church family and friends. Beautiful day outside today. I trust you're feeling blessed, and as we share, we'll give you updates and encouragement, of course, from Scripture. I feel like Foster Hewitt. Many of you remember him from CKFH, announcer for Hockey Night in Canada, and he used to say, "Hello, hockey fans from coast to coast in Canada and Newfoundland." Anyway, pleasure to talk to you this morning. I want to, first of all, thank you for your prayers for Jane and I. As you know, we left Sunday, March the 1st for Florida after the morning service. We went through 2 days of tornadoes in Tennessee and Georgia, and you might remember the devastation that was occurring down in Nashville at the time. We actually had paint taken off our car because of the storms. When we came north, a week ago Friday from Orlando, when we got into Cincinnati on Saturday, we ended up in a three-hour snow blizzard. And when we finally crossed the border into Canada Saturday night at 7 o'clock, it was a real relief. We were one of three cars that came to the border. There were six border slots open, and the border inspector was so glad to see us. He talked to us for 20 minutes. So thanks for your prayers. We got home safely. Of course, we stopped in Windsor. We had a real Canadian-made hamburg. And I have a suggestion. If you go to any of the takeout windows to get some food in the next few weeks, give them a tip. They really are our restaurants now on wheels. And so thanks again. I also want to say thank you to our retired pastors, Carl and Phil, for filling in for me while we were away for the 2 weeks. I also want to commend to you the work of our elders, Jim and Colin, Kurt, Carl, and Phil, who together with myself are trying to keep up constant and consistent contact with each of you. Please feel free at any time to call us. Let's chat. Also, there's folks on our phone list like Joan and Monica, Barb, Crystal, David J., Reg, and Stephanie who do not have internet. And so if you want to invite them over to listen to the broadcast, feel free to do that or certainly give them a call and update them as to what's happening here at the church. Also, if you need anything, we have teams on standby to bring you necessities. What I do know, for example, if you're a senior, Shoppers is open from 9 till 10 every morning for seniors hour, 20% off every day on purchases. The Superstore has a seniors hour at 7 a.m. to 8 o'clock. I'm sure there's updates on Foodland and Walmart here in Wasega Beach. I also want to just tell all our kids that who are in Kids Church that Becca says hi to all of you, and if you want to ever give her a call, if you want to chat with her, feel free to do that. She'd love to talk to you. Jane and I are also making what we're calling patio door visits. We'll come to your house and we'll talk to you via phone. And so if you'd like a visit, just let us know. We'll be dropping by anytime this week. We have some birthdays to bring notice to you about. Rhoda has her birthday on the 23rd, and Ann also has her birthday on the 23rd. And Dawn Robinson has her birthday on the 26th, as does Haley Cummings. And Rob and Gail Simerson have their anniversary on the 28th as well. Also want to just remind you of a couple of other things. We've had a number of questions about giving offerings. We do, of course, have online giving, and we do have e-transfer giving. Speak to either of our treasurers, Leanne or Sheila, and they'll update whatever they need to do to make it easy for you personally. I know Linda has sent out emails, and she'll try to keep us posted on any updates that way as well. Just continue to phone or Skype one another, and remember, you can call me anytime. It was interesting to have different calls from folks and just to have a chat. So enjoy having those opportunities. Okay, now we're going to give you an update on the prayer and praise situations that have come in. And again, thanks to Linda for filling in for us as people have phoned in. First of all, we have Gail Wolzever's daughter, Jenna. I talked with Gail this morning, and Jenna is doing much better, so they are not concerned that she has coronavirus, although they are still waiting for test results. The other one that we want to pray about is Gail's brother works at the Trillium Lakelands Hospital, and as a porter, they have no protective gears. The material they have are only for the nurses, so he is feeling rather concerned. Shauna, her ex-husband, is looking for accommodation here in the beach. He's moving up here for April the 15th, and if you know of anything, let us know. Barb Reynolds is suggesting that we all pray for those especially who have been affected by the virus. One thing that saddens us is the fact that many of these folks, because they're in isolation, and some who are dying alone, and nurses are trying to getting a picture, a Skype picture for family members to at least talk to their loved ones. So it's a lot of stress. A reminder that hospitals are still open. Emergencies are still operating. If you have to go up to a local hospital, you will have an assessment, and then they will take you right in. And so there really are no lines like there often are in Emerge. So if you have issues, still use your local hospital. Samantha and John and their children, of course, out in the Maritimes are asking for prayer. And Suzanne is reminding us all that the military is on alert, and they will be dispatched for different scenarios as they unfold this week, and we'll wait and see what happens there. Donna is asking for continued prayer as we look after each other. I think one thing to keep in mind is people feel lonely, and especially people who are alone. It's hard to have hugs and when you have no physical contact. So let's really encourage each other, and lots of smiles and lots of waves. Linda's son David has been laid off. I was talking to Linda this morning. It looks like they're going to be able to come to Sudbury, and there's a possibility for his wife to have a job there. But there is a lot of financial loss because jobs are really flowing out of Alberta as people are being laid off. Also, for those who are in the high-stress positions, hospitals and truckers, the other issue is, of course, that there are not washrooms available along routes, and so people are in distress that way. People who are traveling, I'm thinking of Ed and Audrey McMeekin and their daughter, Heather, and son-in-law, Simon. They're heading to Vernon, B.C. right now. They're moving out there, so pray for Ed and Audrey and their family as they travel. Also, Becca has been accepted to Laurier for Teachers College. She has to choose between Tyndale or Laurier, assuming that the colleges will still be operating. So if you would pray for her with that. And speaking of students, it looks like the school year will not take place. And so we really need to pray for teachers and students that there will be some thing that can be worked out following this whole viral situation. I came through Orangeville the other day, and I was laughing as I watched about 20 kids out playing road hockey on a parallel road to where I was driving. They were laughing and having fun, and so I was glad to see that as I drove along. Bruce, of course, is doing much better. We're thrilled that he's going to get some more assistance, and he is feeling better. I also want to let you know that it officially is spring. And so go for walks, breathe. The days are getting longer and warmer. You're going to get your vitamin D. And I was noticing, I don't know if you've noticed, but in our backyard, robins are everywhere. They're hopping and swimming around in the breezes. And if they could, they'd swim in every bit of water they could find. But I was reminded of Matthew 6, verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? So with that in mind, enjoy it all as best you can. We are all emotionally roller coastering. And no doubt you at times feel as I do, like animal in a cage. But I'm thrilled that as the days get longer and warmer, take advantage and go for walks. I'd like to, as we conclude the notes of prayer and praise, I just want to take a moment now to pray. And so I would invite you to join me. Heavenly Father, as we have this time together over the internet, I would pray, Lord, that first of all, your peace would be completely evident in all of our lives. Remind us that you are greater than any stress or fear. Remind us that you've not given us a spirit of fear. As 2 Timothy 1 says in verse 7, but you have given us a sound mind. Not given us a spirit of fear, but love, joy, and a sound mind. And so, Father, for our family, wherever they are this day, that you would go before them, for those that are on the road, for May and Norm as they're coming home from Florida, and for others that are traveling because of necessity, that you would watch over them. For all of us in our homes, that you would, again, remind us that you're working, that we can trust you. And so, Lord, as we do things to keep ourselves occupied, as we phone and talk to friends, as we go for walks, Lord, continue to remind us that this is your world and you're in charge. We pray for those in authority over us, that they would have wisdom to know what to do. We recognize that this is a groundbreaking scenario for the entire world, and so many of our world leaders are trying to fathom and respond in ways that will be for the ultimate good of each of our nations. And so, Lord, we do pray for our world this day. And we pray for Christians around this world. None of us are able to meet together. And so we trust that you will be close to each and every one of us wherever we are in this globe. We just praise you for being our God, and we thank you now for what you're going to continue to do in all of our lives. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about a topic that's obviously very relevant to today. Sermon title is Our Eyes Are on You, and that's really what I want to focus on today. And I want to start by speaking from 2 Chronicles 20 and verses 1 to 4. Let me read that to you. You'll have it on the screen in front of you. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazan Tamar, which is, of course, En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. So Judea gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Again, I've chosen this scripture because I think it has incredible timeless relevancy. These are roller coastering times. When Jane and I were in Orlando before we headed north, as we heard of the cruise lines closing, the Disney World closing. And then, of course, as I said to her, what next will be the restaurants. And just the absolute confusion that went on as we started to head north. The world is at war. It's at war with a virus. This is something that is not regional, and I think this is what's catching everyone off guard. It is worldwide. I mean, a month ago, people were going about their daily activities. There was a sense of normality because of the familiar. And now the new normal is an ever-changing future. And the result often, as we're seeing this today, and King Jehoshaphat and the whole nation of Judah saw this, is fear. In their case, their normality turned upside down in a moment. Suddenly, they were about to be attacked by an army. And so I want to use this example to show you what they did, because what they did serves as our indicator for what we can also do. So there is, of course, fear. There was then and there is now. But what is interesting with Jehoshaphat is there was an immediate spiritual focus. He immediately wanted to seek the Lord. He went before the nation, and he proclaimed a time of fasting. And then there was an asking for specific help from the Lord, which I think is important. We need to let our requests be made known in a very specific manner. And Jehoshaphat and the folks from Judah did that. Now, what you'll notice as we go into verse 6 through 9 of 2 Chronicles 20 is Jehoshaphat begins to pray for his nation. And I want you to listen, but I also want you to see his words as he prays. And this is his prayer. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it, and they built a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. What's interesting is we are going through the pestilence phase that Jehoshaphat was praying about, and the end result is we believe you will see and hear us. It's interesting in verse 12, as I mentioned earlier, Jehoshaphat had an army surrounding the nation. And he says, we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Now, we could put in the words virus, but here's the crucial thing. Nor do we know what to do, but what do you see in the next line? Our eyes are upon you. You will hear and you will save. And we need to take comfort in that because as David says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world, and those who dwell therein. The key here is that the Lord is in charge. And the reminder that we need to have is he's bigger than any army, and he's bigger than any virus. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 13, after Jehoshaphat had prayed, the result was, and you'll notice this, all Judah, so all the men with their little ones, their wives and their children, they stood before the Lord. The entire nation went before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, who was a Levite and a priest, and he stood up, and in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles, we have his words. Listen, all of you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Here's the crucial line. Because the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he goes on to say, in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Simply position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Do not fear or be dismayed. Why? Because it's the Lord who's with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, and tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Well, that's exactly what they did. After that word from the Levite priest in verses 18 through 22, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And then the Levites of the children and the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They rose early in the morning, and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out, notice the word, before the army, and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And as they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. And then the summation of this story occurs in chapter 20 and verse 27. And when they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, a fear of God, was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. Fascinating story with timeless implications. I'm reminded of another story that occurred in the 1800s in Feldkirch, Austria. They were a fairly small community, and one day they awoke to find that Napoleon's massive army was preparing to attack their town. Soldiers had been spotted on the heights above the little town, which is situated right on the Austrian border. And so a council of citizens was hastily summoned to decide whether they should try to defend themselves or display the white flag of surrender. Now, it happened to be Easter Sunday, and the people had gathered in the local church, and the pastor rose and he said, "Friends, we have been counting on our own strength, and apparently that has failed. As this is the day of the Lord's resurrection, let us just ring the bells, have our services as usual, and leave the matter in God's hands. We know only our weakness and not the power of God to defend us." Well, the council accepted his plan, and the church bells rang. Well, the French army, hearing the sudden peal of the bells, concluded that the Austrian army must have arrived during the night to defend the town, and before the service had ended, the enemy had broken camp and had left the region. Fascinating. When God is put in charge. Now, here's my point in the relevance of this hour. I would love for our province and our nation and the entire world to come before the Lord God of the universe and say, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Now, that may not be the case, but for you and I, we can come before the Lord, because this is not our fight. We have no control over what's taking place. We didn't bring it on ourselves. And so we need to take what I think we've been offered from 2 Chronicles 20 as the prophet spoke to the nation of Judah and spoke to King Jehoshaphat. Take your spiritual prayer position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord. The other thing I would offer to you is I think we need to start singing. And I'm reminded of the old chorus, "Great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is he, great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is he. Lift your banners, let the anthems ring, praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is he." Will this virus pass in a day? If the Lord wants that, it will. If not, our focus does not change because our focus is on Him. And so in the midst of the national and the international turmoil, I want to also leave another word with you, which I think says it so well. And this is Habakkuk in chapter 3 and verse 17 to 19. In the midst of the stresses that he saw his nation going through in his day, he said the following, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high places." Now, I have to admit, when this virus first hit national news, I was reminded of Habakkuk chapter 3. And in fact, I remembered verse 17, though the fields yield no food, and though the flock be maybe cut off from the fold. And then when I heard about the toilet paper incident, I immediately thought of, and there be no toilet paper in the stalls, yet I will rejoice. Anyway, that's a bit of humor. I hope you'll take it for what it is. As I conclude this morning, I just want to tell you to encourage yourself in the Lord, and let's encourage one another in whatever way we find that we can. Plan to phone, say, 5 people every day. Sing to them. Sing with them. Skype and sing together. Keep your spiritual focus simple, which simply means, Lord, my eyes are on you. And so as we conclude this service this morning, I wondered if I might have the privilege now of praying for you. Father, for our family and for our friends and for all those that we love and care about, Father, for all the stress that people seem to be going through and for fear and for moments of uncertainty, remind us, first of all, that you're in charge. Remind us, too, that you've given us tools. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, think on these things. Remind us, too, that we have the opportunity to pray to the God of the universe and to appeal to you. You are over all the nations of the world. Remind us, too, that we need to stand still. Remind us that this is not our battle. This is yours. And remind us that you are fighting for us. Whether we live or whether we die, our future is hid with God, you, in Christ Jesus, our Savior. And so, Father, may your peace continue to be given to each one of your sons and your daughters. And may this be an opportunity, too, where we can show our faith. Whatever opportunities you give us, Lord, may we take an opportunity to really smile and be ready to give a word of the hope that lies within us. And Father, show us as a church family how we can continue to care for one another. And as we continue to wait through this situation, Lord, we know that you've got us all in the palm of your hand. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing now upon each and every member of our family. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. May the Lord bless all of you this day. Amen.